And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is Wednesday, December the 30th, 2015. Only a couple more days left in the calendar year. 1:12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and today's going to be a lot of fun. Because last week, December 23rd, 2015, was the 75th anniversary of WMRN Radio, which went on the air on December 23rd, 1940. The man who started it all, station founder Bob Mason, unfortunately is no longer with us, but Bob had a daughter and a son, Bob Mason Jr., no longer with us, unfortunately, either, but the last surviving member of Marion's founding broadcasting family, Virginia Mason Browning, Bob Mason's daughter, only daughter, is with us today via telephone, and we can't thank her enough for joining us. Virginia, how are you?
I'm fine. What would you like to know?
Well, you know, how do you feel now knowing that WMRN is 75 years old?
Well, I don't feel much of anything. We're all 75 years older.
When that station... When WMRN started back in 1940, did you ever dream it would last this long?
No, I'll tell you what. My dad worked at Penton Publishing Company for a number of years, and they lost his job. And then his brother, Frank Mason, was helping him get the radio station, and he took 51% of the assets, and Dad got 49, and then his wife was kind of mercenary, and she wanted Dad to sell right away so she could have that money. And Dad got Howard Guthrie to buy that interest, and so he took 51%, and Dad had 49. And we had some very lean years. In fact, Dad had to take out a loan on the furniture to make payroll.
That is so hard to believe. You know, it's interesting when you talk about Frank Mason. So in the beginning, Frank Mason, your dad's brother, was actually the majority shareholder of WMRN.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now for people... go ahead.
He was the Undersecretary of the State of the Navy. And he was a big wig with the administration at the time because his best man at his wedding was Herbert Hoover.
You know, I just recently learned about that. For the listening audience, Frank Mason was the vice president of NBC Network Radio, which is what would have been going on in 1940, but was also President Herbert Hoover, dear friends. Growing up in that family, what was Uncle Frank like?
Very distant.
Were he and your father close brothers?
I don't know, apparently. But he had no use for the rest of the family. Anyway, Dad had things were so lean for so long, Dad had to take out a loan on the furniture to meet payroll. And some of the original people, Lou Marsh sort of ran the place. Joe Peters was a skinny little guy with a big mop of hair, and he was the engineer. And as he got older, he lost his hair and got fat. So he's no longer skinny little guy with a big mop of hair. He was a fat man with bald. And then Madge Cooper was the lady. When you first heard him over the air, you thought she was the most beautiful person in the world. And when you got a good look at her, she was very homely.
Let's talk.
She wound up being Mrs. Howard Guthrie.
She did.
In the end.
Now, do you think, or did you ever know, did Madge know that Howard Guthrie was the one who helped bail out your father when Frank decided to sell the business?
Very possible. She knew everything about the station.
How was it she became your father's right-hand person?
Madge?
Yeah.
She was just so good at everything. He depended on her for so many things, and she was wonderful.
In the beginning, how big a part of WMRN would you say she was back in the 40s?
Oh, well over half.
Your father really had no broadcasting experience when he came to WMRN. When the station...
None.
Yeah, none at all. When the station was being built, why did he choose radio?
I don't know. Apparently he thought Marion needed one.
How did your family end up in Marion?
How did our family wind up in Marion?
Yes.
Well, that's where Dad had this radio station, so that's where we wound up.
So you guys came here to open up the radio station?
Yeah. And at first, all we could hear was, I dream of Jeannie with the light brown hair, because there's some kind of a union, ASCAP union, that wouldn't allow us to pay much of anything. So we had a lot of Stephen Foster.
When the station was being built, back, I would say, probably in 40 and 1939, what were those times like for your family at home?
Very scary.
Why were they scary?
Well, we didn't know what the next meal was going to come from. It was very, very tight. We rented a house on Clover. And then when they sold that out from under us, we bought a house on Merchant. That's where we lived until Dad built his house on the boulevard.
How did your father get the money to raise his 49% of the radio station?
That was Howard Guthrie.
Oh, that came from Howard Guthrie.
Mm-hmm.
And Howard was also the one who, when Frank decided to sell off, helped Bob out again.
Yeah.
Do you know...
Yeah, Howard Guthrie?
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't remember. I was going to say Howard Guthrie was wonderful.
Do you know how your father's and Howard Guthrie's relationship started, or how they became so close?
No, I don't know. Howard Guthrie was a great drinker, though. He was a drunk. He would come to our house soaking drunk.
Do you know
and,
what...
go ahead. Go ahead.
Do you know why Howard had an interest in radio?
No, I don't. I don't know why that happened.
WMRN went on the air when you were 8 years old. What was your childhood like to that point and then after that point?
Well, I don't know. I guess we lived through it. We lived with our grandmother at the time. So when Dad had to move to Marion, we got this house on Merchant. No, not on Merchant, on Clover. So we moved to Marion.
What was Marion like in the 1940s?
I don't remember. That's too long ago.
I understand. Tell us about your father. What was Bob Mason like?
Well, he's kind of forceful. Very persuasive. He had an experience in journalism, so I guess that's where he got his argumentative talent.
Was he a good father?
No, he was never home.
Did you ever have a bond with him at any point in your life?
Ever have a what?
Did you ever bond with your father at any point during his lifetime?
Gee, I don't remember.
When you think of
him... I guess I might have bonded with him when my mother was so abusive. I felt sorry for him.
Now,
my mother was also a drunk. She was an alcoholic.
Now, what was your mother's name?
Mary Naoma Chapin Mason.
And you say she was abusive and an alcoholic?
Yes.
In what ways was she abusive to Bob?
I'm sorry, what was that again?
How was she abusive?
My mother?
Yeah.
Verbally.
So, how would you characterize your parents' marriage?
Just barely hanging together.
With all this going on, two young kids, you and your brother, and an abusive wife who's an alcoholic, how do you think your father ever pulled off this radio station?
Well, he was never home. He buried himself in his work. He was never home for supper. We hardly ever ate a meal together. I think maybe Christmas and Thanksgiving we ate a meal together, but ordinarily we didn't eat meals together.
Was he never home? Was he a happy man?
Was he what?
Was he a happy guy?
Happy?
Yeah.
I don't know. He was satisfied with himself. You know, when he made money, he was happy about that.
Well, you talk about the lean years at WMRN when, you had to mortgage the furniture just to keep the doors open. When did the station finally start making money?
That I don't remember.
But at what point, did Bob make a substantial amount of money off of WMRN in his years there?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that question.
Did Bob end up making a substantial amount of money? He ended up building a house on the boulevard.
Yeah.
Yeah. So WMRN...
But not my brother. Huh?
At WMRN at some point ended up making Bob some money.
Yeah, I don't remember too much about that.
Do you remember anything from December 23rd, 1940, the day the station went on the air?
Well, we were able to get the station in Fremont. That's where we were living. So we were able to get it there. And it just seemed like a very strange thing. Especially listening to I Dream of Jeannie.
that was the first thing on the air.
Yeah, that's all they could play. The only kind of music they could play was Stephen Foster.
Now, you say there was some disagreement with Frank and his wife. Do you know exactly why he pulled out on your brother? Or your father, excuse me.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand the question.
Do you know why Frank left WMRN, his 51%, and threatened your father to leave?
Uncle Frank had 51%.
Right.
And he called my dad on the phone. He said, "I'll give you 48 hours to sell my share because my wife needs that money." So somehow or other, Dad found Howard Guthrie. Howard Guthrie bought off that 51%.
Now, a lot of people remember your father because he did do his own show. I believe it was called As I See It on Sunday afternoons.
Yes.
What do you remember about that show? Did you listen to that program?
Yeah. He attacked anybody in town that he didn't like. Any injustice that was made. And that was a good program. I thought it was As We View It. As I View It, or something like that.
That might be right. Do you know why he did that? Why he did that type of a program?
Just to set the record straight, I think.
Were there a lot of feuds in the early days between the radio station and the Marion Star, which had been here, the newspaper?
Oh, yes. Yep.
What do you remember about that relationship?
Well, I remember it was over when the Marion Star finally wrote something positive about my dad. And I realized, well, maybe Marion Star isn't so negative after all.
Did they used to run negative stories on him?
Hmm?
Did they run negative stories on Bob?
Well, they didn't like the idea that there's a radio station in town, because that was competing for news, I guess.
Right. I do want to run down a few people here who worked there at the time and just get your memories of them. Do you remember Stanley Miller?
No.
I think he was a program director back then. But you say Madge was a big part of that station in the early days.
Oh, yes, yep.
Was there anybody else besides Madge and Lou Marsh and your father who you can think of who were very important in the early days?
Joe Peters. Mm-hmm. He was the engineer.
Do you know where your father got the name WMRN?
From Marion, the name Marion.
It's just...
First and last letter of the name Marion.
So that's what it stands for.
Mm-hmm.
When did your dad get out of the radio business?
Just before he died.
What year did he die?
Oh, golly. 1966.
What did he die from? Did he have an illness?
Multiple myeloma.
Is that why he sold the radio station?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What was his...
If he sold the radio station, he could walk down the road and never... I'd say, that's Mr. Radio. He wouldn't be known as Mr. Radio.
Would you call him an egotistical man?
I think all men are egotistical.
You were 8 years old when the station started in 1940. Obviously, your whole adolescence, teenage years, were in Marion as your father was becoming Mr. Radio. What were those years like, the 50s and 60s?
I worked very hard at my schoolwork. I don't remember much else except I worked very hard with my schoolwork.
Did you spend a lot of time at the radio station?
No.
Was there any particular reason for that?
I just wasn't invited. I was busy with my work, and they were busy doing their thing. And there's one summer when I worked as a secretary for my dad.
Did that make the relationship any closer when you worked for him?
Not really.
Would you say, did your parents' marriage last until he died?
Yes.
Why do you think they stayed together if the relationship was not great?
Convenience.
Did they ever become close at any point in their life?
Yeah, early years they were.
Now, you would have been at WMRN, or would have been in town, when Rod Serling was there. Do you remember that?
No, I don't, but they were very proud of the fact that Rod Serling worked for the radio station for a while.
And your dad liked to talk about that?
Mm-hmm.
When he was walking...
Well, my brothers. Huh?
Your brother was also a big part of WMRN.
Yes, he was. Mm-hmm.
Were
he
your
brother... Ran the business part.
Were your brother... Were your brother and your father close?
No, that I don't know. I guess so.
What would you say your family was like? If you had to characterize the four of you together all those years in Marion, what was your family unit like?
Very tolerating each other, generally.
Did you like your brother and your mother and father? Would you say you like them?
My brother, yes.
But not the mother and father?
Well, there was not a question of liking.
When your father passed away, was that a big deal in Marion at the time, Mr. Radio passing away?
Yeah, I still have the plug out from the Marion Star.
I know you don't have it with you, but what do you remember it saying about him?
Something about Marion Millionaire dies.
So he was a millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think WMRN made this man, who in 1940 was mortgaging his furniture, a millionaire by the time he died in the 60s?
Well, Dad worked awfully hard. He did a lot of other community work, too. He was responsible for bringing the airport to town, and I don't know what else, but he did a lot to improve the community.
Were you proud of him?
Oh, yes.
What was it like to go from living with your grandparents and really having no money to being a millionaire?
Well, I never knew that part of it. When we moved to Marion, we were dirt poor.
Do you think the money changed your father?
No.
when he walked down the town, did he regret anything? Do you think he had any regrets?
Not that I know of.
When he sold WMRN, how big a blow was that to him, being Mr. Radio?
Terribly.
Took away his identity. How long did he live after he sold the station?
Not very long. A few months is all.
What were his last years like? He had money, but obviously not in the greatest of health.
Well, Mom had died. And so he married again.
Now, did you live with your stepmother?
No, but she loved us and was very good to me.
Now, how long did she live after your father passed away?
Now, that I don't know for sure.
Do you know...
Maybe 10 years.
Do you know why your dad sold WMRN to Worth Kramer? Why he chose the person he sold it to?
No, I don't have any idea.
Do you know how much he sold the station for? Not exactly, but about what he sold it for?
No, I don't have any idea.
Did you ever... you said Frank was a distant man, your Uncle Frank. Did you ever meet Herbert Hoover or any of his... Did you go to the wedding where Herbert Hoover best man? It wasn't that kind of relationship?
No.
Frank lived a long time after your father. Did you ever have any contact with him in later years?
Yes, I wrote him letters for years.
Do you want to talk about what the tenor of the letters were? Were they just hello or...
Friendly. They were friendly.
Did he respond?
And he was backing out of the garage one day and he ran over his wife and killed her. And when he wrote about it, it was like he's saying, well, it's rained again today.
He ran over his wife?
Yeah.
Was
his wife with the car.
Was it just an accident?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm. But it didn't change him at all. He just... It was like everyday business.
Yeah. Jason family's always strange like that.
Well, it's kind of interesting. You know, I don't know your family, but it sounds like there was a lot of inner turmoil there.
Well, the one sister had died, and there was Frank and Dad, and then there was a young sister named Carol, which I became very friendly with. I wrote to her a good many years.
You know, it's kind of interesting, Virginia, because your father you consider distant, and your uncle you say was distant, but both of these men became millionaires in the course of their life after being dirt poor. What do you think that was about them? Were they just hard workers?
I don't know. I do know that Uncle Frank made and lost fortunes a number of times. And one time he was at our house, he had just lost a fortune, and he's poor. He was begging my dad for money. And for years, my dad paid him from the radio station. Paid my Uncle Frank money from the radio station. And this was, Uncle Frank had just considered my dad as the ne'er-do-well brother.
Did Frank ever go back to work at the radio station when he was collecting these checks?
No.
No,
I don't know what he... It was just an honorary thing.
After your... And I know you probably don't know the answer to this, but after your uncle put your father in such a hardship, selling the giving him 48 hours to come up with this money he didn't have, why do you think your father had a soft spot for him later in life?
I don't know. We never could figure that out.
Did your mother like Frank?
No.
Frank never had any kids, did he?
No.
Do you know why that was? Why were he and his wife just busy with other things?
I don't know why. It may have been biological.
Was your father, did he drink? You say your mother was an alcoholic. How did...
He drank heavily.
He drank heavily too.
But he was never a drunk like Mother.
What's the difference?
Mom was an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Pardon?
What's the difference, in your opinion, between an alcoholic and somebody who drinks a lot?
Well, the alcoholic is somebody who has no control over the drink. They just drink and they go crazy and they have no control over it. Alcohol rules their lives.
You say your father used his program as a kind of soapbox to get at people who he did not like, or injustices he did not like. What were his political standings? He sounds like a very political guy.
He's very Republican. One time he ran for Congress twice against the Smith machine and didn't make it.
So he wanted to be in, what years were those, or what area, 50s, 60s, that he ran for office?
I think so, yeah.
When your father died, he did die a millionaire. Do you remember the last time you saw him?
Remember the last time I saw him?
Yeah.
I don't remember the last time I saw him. I guess it was in the hospital. I'd gone down to visit him in the hospital right before he died.
And
he said I'd been a good daughter.
He said you'd been a good daughter?
I don't know where that came from. That's the nicest thing he ever said to me.
And he said it on his deathbed.
Hmm?
Were you sad when your father... I know that's an odd question, but were you sad when he died?
Oh, yes.
So you did love the man?
Yes.
I certainly understand. What is your favorite memory of radio station WMRN, or favorite memory of your father?
Gosh, I don't know.
Does it make you feel proud that this man who was Mr. Radio, his legacy is still here? WMRN still here 75 years later.
I don't know. It's just don't die, I guess.
Yeah. Well, are you proud that his work is still here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you know that the station... Is that date in your head, December 23rd? Did you know last week the station had turned 75?
No.
Well, one other question. Go ahead.
That's so far in my past, I don't really have any connection with it anymore.
You know, it's interesting. Your father, you say, died a millionaire. What happened to all the money?
I don't know.
Were you and your brother left okay?
Yeah, Dad put a lot of money in trust. It's a Mason Trust Fund.
Your brother became a preacher. Did you ever expect that? Did you ever?
He became an Episcopal priest.
Do you know why he did that? This radio man, son of a radio man.
No. Who knows why anybody does that?
When you think back to your family, what impact do you think they had on your life? Did it shape you in any way with your family and your kids?
Make me feel that nothing I ever did was good enough.
Do you have any resentments toward your family?
Yeah. Toward my brother, especially.
Because
he was on his high horse so much.
Your brother.
For no good reason, yeah.
But your father and your mother, how would you say you remember them?
Dad is a jolly drunk, and Mom is a miserable, sad drunk.
You know, people listening in Marion hearing this, and I understand it's honest, but they're probably a little shocked. Do you think the public knew that Mr. Radio was not a very good father and a drunk?
Probably not.
He concealed that well.
Pardon?
He concealed that well.
Seemed to, yeah. It chose the right places.
Do you think, because I knew Madge, Madge lived to be 99 years old. She loved Bob.
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing.
Good for her.
God bless her. She lived to be 99. She loved your father. It's kind of interesting. She never spoke a bad word about him. Why do you think she had that perception of him and his daughter had this perception of him?
Well, maybe she never saw that aspect of him.
You know, one of the things, I was looking at some pictures the other day. I don't know if you have anything left of WMRN, but there's a picture of your father, Madge, and Fran Allison from Kukla, Fran, and Ollie at the WMRN offices back in the 1950s, I believe. Do you remember the celebrities passing through there?
No. No.
Do you have any pictures of your father?
Somewhere back in the old house. We're living in a nursing home now.
Do you have any memorabilia from WMRN?
What about WMRN?
Do you have any memorabilia from the station?
Memory of the station?
Did you keep anything from the station?
No.
Do you resent the radio station because it took your father away from you?
No, I didn't question that at all. I just feel it was necessary and I could shut up.
Well, Virginia, it's interesting because I know some of your father's programs are still around here on reel-to-reel tapes. Do you have any of your father's programs?
No.
Would you like some?
No.
Is there a reason for that?
That's too far in the past.
It's interesting, Virginia. I really can't thank you enough for being this honest, because this is a really honest interview, and I sincerely do appreciate that, and I appreciate you giving us this time. But that period of your life, from 1940 till the late 1960s that your father died, to you, from your perspective, what were those years? How do you compartmentalize those in your life?
Well, let's see, I don't know, I got married. Well, there's one thing I forgot to tell you. Among the people who work there at the radio station, I think there's a guy named Spieth. But anyway, he was a, he worked on the business end of it. And he had a nervous breakdown, and my dad paid him his salary for a whole year after that happened.
You know, it's interesting, Virginia. When the station closed down, a gentleman here in town who worked there in later years, Charlie Evers, got the papers, the contracts from the station. Your father gave great bonuses at Christmas time and money to his staff. He really did take care of them.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
He always gave good bonuses.
Yeah, so he was a generous man, I would think.
Yeah, I think so.
What did he care about, do you think, if in his radio life, if he would want one thing to last about WMRN, would it be news, would it be local content, would it be music? What did he cherish the most about that?
I think maybe the good bonuses he gave out. One Christmas, all he got for Christmas was a 10-cent bottle of toilet water. And then some relative dropped in unexpectedly, and that relative got the bottle of toilet water. So my dad got nothing.
So Christmas
was... Yeah, he got nothing for Christmas that year. So maybe that's why he got big bonuses.
When your dad ended up getting money, did you have good Christmases then? Was he generous to his family?
He'd send his secretary out to buy some things for us, wrap them up, pretend they came from him.
But you knew they did not?
Well, there were things that, yeah, didn't apply at all.
What do you know about WMRN? Because it seems, or your father, or your uncle, because it sounds like a very interesting family. What do you know? What is a secret that we do not know, that because all these people are gone, you can talk about now?
What do we know that they don't?
Yeah, what do you know that went on in those days that maybe would not have been good to talk about back then, but since everybody's gone from that time, that you would feel okay talking about now?
I can't think of anything. Unless the fact that they all wanted to work together. We were kind of close.
So your father was able to be close with the staff, but not close with his family?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you think in a way
That's the way the Masons were anyway. They were not family people.
When you grew up and had your own family, were you able to create a family that was strong?
Yes.
Good, good. Did your husband meet your father?
Yes.
Did he like him?
What was the question?
Did he like your father?
I don't know.
Did he leave your... his second wife well off when he passed away?
What about the second wife?
Did your father leave his second wife well off financially when he passed away?
Yes, she did. Mm-hmm.
Why do you think your brother had such an ego?
Why do you think my brother what?
Had such an ego. You said he was high on the horse.
I don't know.
What does family mean to you? Your family you came from?
I don't know. Not much, I guess.
Well, when we mentioned your father, and I don't want to bring it up again, but and I say I appreciate this honesty so much, but when you were talking about your father, you got a little emotional there a second ago. Why do you think you got emotional about this man?
I don't know. I think we've talked long enough.
Well, Virginia, I really do appreciate you for calling, and I can't thank you enough for doing this, and I really do wish you the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Virginia. Bye-bye. Virginia Mason Browning. Very interesting stuff. We are going to play a New Year's if you'd like to give us a call. 740-751-4038. Let's see if we can get it here queued up as quickly as we can. Okay, maybe not. We're going to work on it here. But you're tuned to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. We were just chatting with Virginia Mason Browning, the only living relative of WMRN founder Bob Mason. What an interesting interview that turned out to be. Some interesting things, that's for sure. Here we go.
Five hundred twenty-five thousand six hundred minutes. How do you measure a year? In daylights, in sunsets, in midnights, in cups of coffee, in inches, in miles, in laughter, in strife. In 525,600 minutes, how do you measure a year in the life? How about love? Seasons of love. friends of
Scott Spears back with you here on WWGH Radio, 53 minutes past the hour on this Wednesday, December 30th, 2015. The guest moments ago was Virginia Mason Browning, and if you missed that, you missed something. I don't even know what to say about that. She is the last surviving member of the Bob Mason family. Bob Mason was the founder of WMRN Radio right up the street here 75 years ago this year, December 23rd, 1940, and kind of shed some light on her father, mother, uncle, brother, and some people who worked at WMRN. What's your take on that interview? Somebody has to have a thought about that. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a call. What a sad story that was. I don't think Prohibition was going on here in Marion in the 1940s. Apparently everybody had a drink. What a sad, sad interview that was. Makes me sad to think about it. Not a sad interview in the context of what it was, just a sad story. Holy mackerel. Did anybody out there know any of those people? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Well, we do certainly thank Virginia Mason Browning for coming on today. Remember, our regular Friday programming will be on tomorrow, New Year's Eve, starting at 10 o'clock in the morning. It's Sober Joe. 11 o'clock, Wittenberg's Door with Brett Cornelius. Noon, The Exchange Club with Marianne Michaels, Charlie Evers, and myself. And from 1 to 3 tomorrow, it's the Fahey Bank Charlie Evers Show, all live on New Year's Eve. And we will be closed New Year's Day on Friday. So tune in tomorrow. Lots of giveaways. 740-383-9944. We do have two trivia questions out there. You can win $10 to Pesto's. You can win two tickets to the Columbus Zoo. Or you can win a Mr. Jingling t-shirt, medium size, for a child. The two questions are, what year did they first drop the ball in Times Square? What year did they first drop the ball in Times Square in New York for New Year's? Or the other question is, who were the two famous broadcast personality on radio and television who rang in the new year? For years and years and years, who were those two gentlemen? If you can answer either one of those questions, you'll get $10 to Pesto's, and you will get, or you can have the Mr. Jingling t-shirt, or you can have the two tickets to the Columbus Zoo, and the zoo lights run through January the 3rd. I'll even throw in a third question there because we have 5 minutes left, 4 minutes left. The question is, one of these gentlemen who rang in the new year did it with a band on CBS every year. They did it from a famous hotel in New York. What was the name of that hotel? I believe it's still there. 740-383 9944. Give me a call. Are the phones broken? You got to have something to say after that interview with Virginia Mason Browning, or an answer to one of these trivia questions. Get yourself some Pestos, a medium Mr. Jingling t-shirt for a child. What a great holiday gift that is. Or two tickets to the Columbus Zoo Lights, which run through January the 3rd. The three questions again. What was the first year that the ball was dropped in New York City's Times Square? What was the first year the ball was dropped in New York City's Times Square? Question number two, who were the two famous gentlemen, both deceased now, who on television and radio rang in the new year for years? They were both in Times Square, or had people in Times Square. Who were those two gentlemen who did it for years and years and years, rang in the new year on television and radio? And the third question is, one of those gentlemen who worked for CBS television, he rang in the new year every year on CBS television with his band. He used to perform on New Year's Eve. The show emanated from a famous hotel in New York that is still there. What is the name of that hotel? 740-383-9944. Give us a ring. I'd love to hear something, or a comment on that Virginia Mason Browning interview. Hey, you're live on WWGH Radio. Go ahead.
The first time was 1904.
1904. You know what? I just lost that. I that could be right. While I look for that, what did you hear, Virginia Mason?
No.
Oh my goodness, that was something else. You'll have to catch that in the repeats. Okay, let me get this here. First year, New Year's, New York. Okay. You said 1904?
Yeah.
Not 1904.
It's not.
Not 1904, but thanks for calling in.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye. The year was not 1904. Come on, folks, you've got a minute left. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What year did they first drop it? December 31st something. It was not 1904, but it was in the early 1900s, I'll tell you that. And who were the two famous men who rung in the new year on television year after year? What were their names? And one of those men from CBS did it for many years. He broadcast from a famous hotel in New York. What was the name of that hotel? You win $10 to Pesto's, two tickets to the Zoo Lights, which are good through January the 3rd, or a Mr. Jingling medium-sized t-shirt for a child. 740-383-9944. I don't think we're going to make it today. Tune in tomorrow. Stay tuned for more programming. This is Scott Spears heading to the dugout. You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LE Marion, Ohio.